I would invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. We're back in our study on Christian warfare. Putting on the armor of God. It's been an incredible passage. I only regret that there have been many interruptions. Good interruptions. Christmas was a great interruption. I love Christmas time. It reminds me of why Christ came and everything. But we're also going to be interrupted next week. But we'll get through a little bit this morning. Let's read together Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, may be able to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And we'll stop there. Paul's last words to the church in Ephesus, in letter form anyway, are found here. This is after Acts 20, when he visited them in person and said that they would not see his face again. This was written, Ephesians, was written in Acts 28, where he is in prison in Rome. His last words deal with the great themes of Scripture. The Christian life. The church. Christ. He describes them as truth, righteousness, the gospel, salvation, the Spirit and the Word of God, and prayer. Now he's thinking of the Christian life as a battle, a war. And in a very real sense, it is a war of far greater significance than any physical battle or any physical war that man has engaged in. Here is Paul in Rome, chained to a Roman soldier. And he thinks of the Christian warfare. And he finds a comparison in this soldier and his armor. And as the soldier puts on the armor that equips him for the struggle, so the Christian must put on the armor of God if he is to resist, if he is to stand, and if he is to fight. And so he says, put on the armor of God. And he describes each piece, the girdle or belt, which is truth, the breastplate, which is righteousness, the footwear, which is the gospel, the shield, which is faith, the sword, which is the Word of God, the helmet, which is salvation. And we may include prayer there. So all of these pieces of armor are the great themes of the Christian life. They are the way to be strong in the Lord, according to verse 10. They are how we are able to withstand in the evil day, according to verse 13. They are the protection against a great host of enemies, Satan in verse 11, and his demons in verse 12. The powers behind all the dark and sinister forces of evil in this world that come to expression in error and unrighteousness, the general lie of the world and its philosophies, its ideologies, its perversions. The armor of God is the protection. And if you fail to put it on, you will be weak, you will be vulnerable, you will be defeated. Now we are going to deal with the first today, and that's truth. Be girded with truth. Now here is the great fundamental piece of armor, truth. Paul says in verse 14, before all else, before all the other armor, put on truth. Truth is the girdle or the belt. And you are to gird up your loins, he says, with truth. Gird up your loins. Now, this is a common figure of speech in the Old and New Testament. It has even come down to us today. And it means be strong and ready for action. Gird refers to tying on a sort of belt, a belt-like fastener. It could have been a strong rope. It could have been a leather strap. It could have been another piece of garment. The loins refer to the hips or the lower part of the abdomen, the waist area. So to gird up your loins meant to secure your outfit with a belt at the waist. Now people did this to get ready to move, to travel, to act, to work, or to fight. And typically men girded their loins because their work required unhindered movement, often because they were in war. And so you'll see a repeated saying in the Old Testament, gird up your loins like a man. Now the exception is Proverbs 31, where it speaks of the industrious woman. She girds herself with strength. Now that is very symbolic. Gird up your loins. And it became a symbol of strength. And it became a figure of preparedness. Now in those days, men wore freer garments, not pants. And we don't want to call them dresses. We'll call them robe-like attire. And for any action, they would need to gird that and secure that that free-flowing garment with a belt. And so girding your loins meant to lift up and secure with a belt-like attachment any hanging or loose garment. Otherwise, that loose garment would trip or hinder the very center of a man's strength. The strongest part of a person is his upper legs, his hips, and his lower abdomen. That's where your strength is. And girding will secure a loose garment from hindering your strength. And so Paul refers to the strongest part of man's physical strength in this analogy. And that's why he starts here. If he's looking at the Roman soldier had to gird up his garments as he put them on. The Roman soldier, even that rich, powerful army of Rome, had less than tailored, fitted uniforms that we expect today. They needed to tighten any free-flowing garments. They needed to tuck any loose clothing away so that it did not hinder their movements or compromise that center of their strength. Their life and the battle was at stake. So gird up your loins then means to get ready. Prepare for action. Be strong. Don't allow anything to retard your movement. Don't allow anything to hinder your strength. You see, there are many Old Testament passages. An interesting one is on the eve of the Exodus. Their loins were to be girded as they ate the Passover in Exodus 12:11. Now you shall eat it in this manner with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You see, you were to be ready to go as soon as the Lord commanded. And when Elijah, you remember Elijah outran Ahab to Jezreel, it says he girded up his loins. He girded up that garment so it didn't tangle him up and he could run with all the speed he had. And he did outrun Ahab, even though he was in his chariots. You find that in 1 Kings 18:46. Interesting story, children. Well, the point here is the Christian needs to gird up his loins with truth. If he is not secure in truth, he will be weak. He will be vulnerable. His strength will be compromised. When the enemy attacks in the evil day, the day of battle, the day of temptation or trial, the Christian, if he is not girded with truth, he will flounder and fall. If the Christian is fiddling with his uniform and trying to tuck in this loose part over here and is fussing with his garment there, he is already defeated. He must have this part down. He must be secure here. He must gird his loins with truth to be strong, to be ready for action. Now, I promise you, the enemy is always ready for action. So if you do not know the truth and you're not convinced of it, you will be like that soldier who ought to be fighting, who ought to be standing his ground, but you will be like that soldier who is behind in the ranks. He is fussing with his pants and they're falling down. And he's tripping up. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine some of the modern style of attire used in battle? I see young men walking around with their pants partially falling down, and they have to hold them up with at least one hand to keep from falling. I remember one of those police chases on, I think it was Bad Boys, Bad Boys. The criminal was being chased. He didn't have his pants girded, and they were falling down. And he was falling down as he tried to hold them up. He had to hold them up with one hand as he ran. And if you've ever tried to run holding up your pants, it doesn't work. Your legs, your speed, your strength is completely hindered. And well, he kept falling down, and the police, who were older and really rather out of shape, they caught him. They caught this young guy who should have easily escaped from them. And as they were cuffing him and wrestling him on the ground, he was still trying to pull his pants up. Well, that is really what has happened to many Christians. They simply don't know the truth. And they aren't girded with it. They haven't put it on, and so things are falling down. And they're falling down. And they're falling prey to every wind of doctrine, every new theory that comes out, every new fad. They are not grounded or girded with the truth. So Paul is talking about the most important starting point to being strong, the most important piece of the armor, as it were, and that is being girded with truth. Now the question is, what is truth? What is truth? If it's essential armor, if I'm to take it up and I'm to put it on, if I'm to gird it on, what is it? Well, that has not been an easy question for people to answer. There is no consensus on what Paul means here by truth. And for that matter, there's little consensus on any of the other pieces of armor. Let's see if we can work this out a little bit and come to some sort of understanding. The Bible says truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1:17. In Ephesians 4:21, Paul says, truth is in Jesus. And Jesus himself said, I am the truth. Remember that? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it seems to refer to the very meaning of life, the way of salvation, and that is found in Christ. And we know this. We know this, who've been in the church, that the meaning of life is Christ and a relationship with Him. But to have that requires salvation in Him too. But let's just summarize truth as life in Christ. Truth is life in Christ. People have always pondered from the beginning of time, I suppose, what is life? What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? The truth is, you are here to know God, to believe in Jesus Christ, and to live in Him. That's the meaning of life. Christ is life. That is the truth. Pontius Pilate said to Christ, before Christ was crucified, Pontius Pilate said, "What is truth?" And he expressed cynicism. He expressed a typical skeptical attitude that anyone could know the meaning of life. Jesus claimed to know the meaning of life. And not only that, He in fact claimed to be the meaning of life. Now, what elicited this response of Pilate? It was that Jesus said this, "I have been born to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." John 18:37. Jesus is the truth. Life is in Him. Salvation is in Him. That's the truth. And He bears witness to the truth. Now, where do we learn the truth? Where do we learn the truth? It is from hearing His voice, because He says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." It is from hearing His voice. It is from listening to the Word of God. And now that Word is written down. It's recorded. The Word of God teaches us the truth. The Word of God teaches us about life in Christ. The Word of God is even called the truth. We cannot know the truth apart from the Word of God. John 17:17, Jesus prays in the high priestly prayer. He says, "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth." In Psalm 119:160, it says, "The entirety of Your Word is truth." The whole truth revealed by the Word of God. And so Paul is saying, gird yourself with truth. And when he's saying that, he is referring to the whole counsel of the Word of God. The truth about Christ, the truth about salvation, the truth about life itself. And if you are girded with that, you will stand strong. Of course you will. You can't have loose beliefs free-flowing around competing with truth. You can't say salvation is in Christ and then allow for other ways of salvation or many truths. I have my way, you know, you have your way. No, you'll be tripping. You'll be tripping up. What is truth? Truth is Christ. Truth is salvation in Christ. Truth is abiding in Christ. It's life in Him. Where is it found? Well, it's found in Him. It's found in Him, and therefore it's found in the Word of Christ. And this has been once for all delivered to the saints in the Word of God. But you say, well, isn't the sword the Word? Verse 17? Yes. Yes, it is. But that is a specific use of the Word. I think it's a different use than what he's referring to here. Here it is the whole counsel of the Word of God. As the Word of God reveals the truth of Christ. As the Word of God reveals the truth of salvation and the meaning of life. And so we could say this is the truth. The Word is the truth. We could say that. But it's not the Word alone. It's what the Word bears witness of. The Word bears witness of Christ. The Word bears witness of the truth. And so what we're talking about here is the teaching of the Word of God, what it teaches about the great themes of the Bible, what it teaches about God and Christ and salvation. Doctrine, we call it doctrine. All that means is teaching. This is doctrine. Known, believed, embraced, lived. This is not cold, dead orthodoxy. It is truth that has come to rest in the mind and heart. It is secure in the man so that he is girded with it. It's fastened to him. It's part of him. It's his very worldview. Is the Word of God fastened to you? Is it part of your worldview? Does it control everything you think? Now, some believe what Paul says when he says put on truth here, that he means only living it. And I feel I need to address that. In other words, they're saying that the truth here refers to a man's sincerity, a man's virtue. They say truth here is truthfulness of the person and his life. It's not the truth of God's word or doctrine, but the integrity of the Christian, that he live a real life, a genuine life. And that's what Paul means by putting on truth here. But I believe it is the Word of God. I believe it's the Word of God. Girding your loins with truth is the Word of God in a different sense than verse 17. There, in other words, there is a difference with the Word of God looked at as a whole and the Word looked at and used at as its separate portions for specific purposes. Here I think the girdle means the whole truth of the Word of God. And we'll talk about that more as we go. It's the whole truth of the Word of God. It's what the Word of God reveals as the real state of affairs. What the Word of God reveals about God. What the Word of God reveals about man and salvation. This is what girds the Christian against all the schemes and wiles of the devil. See, integrity and sincerity, that is all good and well and important. And I believe that it's included in this, as man abides in the truth. But I think it's very wrong to limit this to man's integrity or to put that first. For one great reason. It is not my life of integrity from which this great strength of Christ is derived. I mean, in this great war with the devil, am I to rely on my integrity? It seems to me that that would spell defeat. Am I to think that Paul would put that first of all in this great battle, this great panoply of armor, this great, most important theme of the Christian spiritual warfare in life, my integrity? That's hard for me to agree with. Truth is foundational of all. Truth is the strength. Gird your loins with truth. The whole counsel of the Word of God revealed from Scripture. I just can't believe that he thought of my sincerity and my truthfulness and my integrity as the greatest point of my strength. The strength is knowing the truth of Christ. Being convinced of it. And then, of course, living it. Now, to argue that a little bit, I'd like to take you to John 8:31. If you'll indulge me, I'll spend a little time here and then we'll also come back to Ephesians. In John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, they were claiming to believe Him, He said, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed." And then in verse 32, He says this very interesting thing. He says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the same word as Ephesians 6:14. And there, and or here, I guess in John 8:32, it is objective truth. It's objective truth as revealed from the Word of God. He's speaking about abiding in Christ's Word. He's speaking about remaining in it and knowing the truth. How do you know the truth? Listening to it? Hearing Christ? Believing the Word of Christ? He's speaking of the whole truth, the whole body of doctrine, the summation of truth. How do you know it? How do you know it now? Through the written Word of God. And here he says that that truth frees us. If you abide in my truth, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll make you free from sin and slavery. And if you read on in John 8, it'll make you free from the devil. As you abide in it and remain in it and know it, it sets you free. So the truth is knowledge. And it is continued abiding in God's revealed will. And so it includes living it. It includes applying it. And here is where it does include integrity. But integrity, it does not start with integrity. And it's not limited to my integrity. It is objective truth found in the written Word of God. Known, studied, believed, and then made part of you. When that happens, you're girded with truth. You're girded with truth. You're not enslaved to ideologies of men or theories. You know what the truth is and you can live according to it. It starts with the objective truth of God revealed in Scripture. Now, to make more firm what I think Paul means here by truth, let's turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4 now. Look at the context of Ephesians where he uses this word truth. Now, truth in Ephesians 4 is the training of the people of God to a full understanding of the Word of God. And that is specifically doctrine. Doctrine is gained by training by gifted leaders. It's trained by gifted members as they mutually exercise their gifts. Another, to a complete knowledge of Christ, look at Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying, that's the building up, the edifice, the building up of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, that could be a definition of truth right there. And then verse 14 he says, and we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Well, that's not truth. That's lies. We learn the whole teaching of Christ, the whole doctrine, the whole counsel of the Word of God, and so are girded with truth. And look at verse 15. He sums it up. Speaking what? The truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. You see how it's truth about Christ and life in Him? To get there, you must know the Scripture. You must know the truth. Organized, systematized. You must know propositional truth. Facts about what the Scripture says. It doesn't stop at objective knowledge. It blends into the integrity of the life, as we may call it. Or maybe we could say this truth becomes reality in us. It is abiding in us. We are indeed living it. We are applying it. It is part of us. We're girded with it. Now, after he talks about this training in the objective truth, then in verse 21, again, he says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, watch, look at this, just as truth is in Jesus, that's propositional, right? That's objective truth. But now, this truth impacts the life. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Truth dwelling in your mind. You've embraced it and you're embraced by it. And then he uses the same terminology of putting on as in 6:14, verse 24. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. Look at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Put on truth. Because you know the truth. And then it richly dwells in you. Gird yourself with truth. By knowing it. By living it. And so it's objective truth as found in Scripture. The whole truth. And truth as it comes to bear on the man's life. As it influences him. As it changes him, it controls your thoughts. It protects you from falsehood and error. He is girded with it. Now, very briefly, how do I gird myself with truth? How do I gird myself with truth? It's very important, isn't it? May we just get really practical here. Start with consistent, prolonged reading of God's revealed truth as found in the Word. Get the 2012 plan. That's minimum. Start with reading the Word. Then study it. Then believe it. And ask God to work in you so that you believe it and understand it. And fourth, I would say, obey it. Live what you're learning. Try to live what you're learning. Apply it. God will honor that. God will honor His Word. That's a truth. Now that is essential armor. That is essential armor in the Christian warfare. No one will be strong enough simply by the integrity of his life. But if he knows the truth, if he knows it well, and he's conforming his life to the truth, if he's constantly ready for the assaults of error from the enemy, he will stand firm. No man is prepared to withstand the wiles of the devil. If his mind is stored with worldly theories of truth, if his mind is filled with speculations of life, Man's theories are the devil's instrumentation and the devil's well-woven lies. Whether these be tradition, human reason, the dictates of conscience, or speculative conviction. Whether these be so-called scientific observations or scientific consensuses. Whether these be the sincerest religious experiences or even dead orthodoxy. These are a belt of the barest thread. As one commentator put it, these are a girdle of a spider's web. They give way at the first onset. End quote. Only the truth, as it is revealed in Scripture and abiding in the mind and heart, gives strength for the conflicts of the Christian life. So the girdle is truth. Known, believed, lived. It is this worldview of truth that I have because I know the Word of God so well. I know its doctrines. I know God. I know Christ. I know the truth of salvation. It's hidden deep in my heart and mind. I continue in it. I master it. And when the devil presents a lie, I'm ready for it. I know the truth. I know the enemy. I even know the world. Now, that doesn't mean I know all the realities in the world. It doesn't mean I know every field of knowledge or I understand all science, etc. But I know that when someone comes along and says that all things are relative, that's not true. There is a right and there is a wrong. There is a truth and there is an error. I know when someone says it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something, that's false. Because I know the truth. That salvation is only in Jesus Christ. And when someone presents a newfound fact, say they dug up some ancient artifact or some ancient document, and they claim that it challenges the whole Christian theory, I'm girded with truth. I've put it on. I know the truth. It doesn't topple me. It doesn't cause me to stumble at all. If someone discovers a new planet, and it looks like Earth, and they claim that water is on it, and that life may have been on it or be on it, and then they say, well, this challenges the whole Christian worldview, and this debunks God. No, it doesn't. Now, they said that when Copernicus discovered that the Earth was not the center of the universe. They said that when man discovered gravity. They said it's a self-contained, the universe is a self-contained system. It produced itself. It's just force. It's all force. You don't need God. It's not God. It's always been this way. That's the way it will always be, they said. My college professors said that. Am I to then throw in the towel? Am I to say, well, I guess there's no God. I guess there's no heaven. There's no salvation. Christ is not the only Savior. Not at all. I'm girded with truth. I know the truth. It doesn't mean I can explain everything in the universe. I know the God of the universe. The God who made the universe. I know the Savior. I know the meaning of life. Gird your loins with truth. This is the first essential equipment for being strong in the Lord. It starts with the knowledge of Scripture. You must immerse yourself in God's Word. Then you must understand the teaching found there. What does it teach about Christ? What does it teach about God? What does it teach about man? What does it teach about sin and salvation? And then I need to believe it. I need to become convinced of it. And I need to live it. Be girded with truth. It's strapped on there. A strong, secure belt to hold me tight, to keep me from stumbling. I know the truth. I believe the truth. And then I live it. Put on the armor of God and the truth of God. Let's pray. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, help us to put on this truth. Only You by Your Spirit can convince us that Your Word is truth. That all it teaches it is true. Help us to know it, to believe it, and then to live it. That it becomes part of us. That it is so one with us that it is girded tightly and fit. That nothing dangles to trip up us up, to hinder our strength, to slow our movement, to cause us to stumble, to fall. Thank You for the truth revealed in Christ, that life is in Him. And how I pray that if there is anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ, You would secretly work in their hearts by Your Spirit, convincing them that He is the only way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. Oh, Father, we need your strength. And you tell us that this is how we can have your strength, by knowing the truth. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.